Welcome to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church. Our goal is to help you see how the gospel of Jesus Christ intersects with our daily lives and compels us toward gratitude and generosity.
Well, welcome back to Abound in Hope. I am here with...
I'm Darren Larson.
Tom Regan.
I'm Tom McGregor.
Oh, what were you going to say, Tom?
Oh, I was going to kick it off, but you should introduce yourself.
I was going to say, I'm Rex Gorman, and I got in trouble last time because I didn't let you guys introduce yourself, and it seems like it's going great this time so far. So.
We're not holding a grudge.
Yeah, so. We're not. Okay, well, let's see if we can move past that. Not holding grudges. What's that called,
Darren? Oh, yeah, maybe Tom McGregor should talk to us a little bit about what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, we're talking about forgiveness. We talked about shame so much last week. And in that context, we were talking about forgiveness a lot. So we thought it would be a good idea to talk about forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And forgiveness is like a huge concept in the Bible. Mm-hmm. It's talked about like all over the place.
Yeah,
and in fact, seems to be one of the main things we need as human beings, living this side of the garden. And, so like, when the disciples ask Jesus to teach them how to pray, he concludes the prayer with, "And forgive us our debts as we've also forgiven our debtors." And then he like gives this little thing. If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
That's kind of Matthew a terrifying 6. Verse, by the way.
We like to hit it out of the park on the first one.
So
forgiveness is a huge deal. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to know what it is so that we have an accurate view of who God is and what he's doing, but also so that we have an accurate view of who we are and some of the privileges and obligations we have as forgiven people.
Okay.
You know, forgiveness is interesting too, because it's also like last week was a really touchy subject of shame, which felt like it was more complex than just having a simple conversation about it, right? As people listen to it, if they have shame in their lives, I mean, that could have brought up deep emotions. Well, likewise, forgiveness is right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of estranged relationships where somebody's withholding forgiveness. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of unconfessed sin because people don't have confidence that they will be forgiven either by God or by others.
And there are people who want to forgive because they know God's forgiven them and they genuinely want to forgive, but they have a hard time like, have I gotten there? I don't feel like I can get there. So we'll definitely talk about that. But I think that's a very difficult issue.
Yeah, if there's a feeling of forgiveness that comes that
And so we just read that, like, okay, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Yep. So if you're a believer and you're out there and you're going, well, I have unforgiveness in my heart and I'm trying as best I can to forgive somebody, does that mean the Lord hasn't forgiven me? You know?
Yeah.
So that's a great question.
It's tough. It's tough. So we'll get there.
Yeah.
So how would you define forgiveness, McGregor, according to the Bible? Like, what does the Bible say?
Yeah, I think forgiveness is pretty tough for me personally to define because in my mind it's so wrapped up with reconciliation. And I think that that's kind of helpful because reconciliation is the final step for forgiveness. But the trick about that is that you need both parties active for reconciliation to occur.
And by reconciliation, we mean where there's a restoration of relationship.
Yeah, right? But forgiveness is not reconciliation, although reconciliation is a part of...
it's the goal?
Yeah, that's a great way of saying it. The way I'd talk about forgiveness, trying to ride that line and... I hope as you're listening, you hear the difficulty I'm having with this, but I think it's the activity of canceling debts. Which makes you think, oh, well, if the debt's been canceled, I should reconcile. But I think we should talk about forgiveness before we get there.
Okay.
So at its most fundamental, I think the Bible talks about forgiveness as an activity of canceling debts. So if we're talking about relational issues, then forgiveness is basically canceling the relational debt, that resentment that has incurred because of somebody's
thoughtlessness. And that is not overlooking sin.
No.
Okay, we got to clarify that.
Yeah, so some people think forgiveness is just, oh, it's okay.
Don't worry about it.
No.
Yeah, I've forgotten it. And it's almost like I'm developing like a false amnesia mm-hmm. towards yeah. what you did to me. And that's not it. It's so hard.
I think what you're getting at, like theoretically, like in a situation of interpersonal forgiveness, reconciliation would happen. Like ideally, that's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But often, because we live in a fallen world, forgiveness, I think what makes it hard is that often we are, by canceling the debt somebody owes us, we are like taking that cost on ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here's the picture that helps me most is that on the cross, what's happening in the atonement is forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is reconciling the whole world to himself mm-hmm. through that forgiveness, but you got to respond to the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I delineate those two things. Somebody is paying the debt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when somebody's wronged me, through sin, then there's always a debt.
Mm-hmm.
And forgiveness is deciding that I will pay that debt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for a Christian, that looks different, right? Because
mm-hmm.
We actually recognize that Christ has already paid the debt.
Right. But you're not paying a debt. You're releasing
yeah.
your
yeah.
right to be, what, angry or resentful? Right.
Exactly. And,
somebody yeah. still has to pay it.
Yeah, there's right. a cost mm-hmm. that yeah. you're paying it.
And so Jesus pays it mm-hmm. if you're a Christian. If it's not a sin, if it's just somebody's violated my personal preference, mm-hmm. I think that's mm-hmm. a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible talks about those two things in
yeah.
different terms. So like, Matthew 18 is like really, really helpful for me when there's sin, in the beginning. And then Peter's really helpful for me
mm-hmm.
when he's like, well, how many times do I have to forgive somebody? And it's clear that like from Jesus's answer, he's talking about, well,
49 just, times, right?
Yeah. That's
simple, yeah. simple math. That's all it is. Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like there's a difference in sinning against somebody and then doing something that hurts their feelings out of mm-hmm. personal preference. Mm-hmm. Both require yeah. forgiveness, mm-hmm. but there are different steps.
Tom said something interesting a second ago, other Tom,
mm-hmm.
Where the fact it's not actually saying what you did to me doesn't matter. That's
yeah.
important, right? You know, there's yeah. a sense of actually owning and feeling that and mm-hmm. experiencing it. And that actually makes forgiveness complete in a sense, right? Like you have
calling
to
calling a sin a sin.
You are, yeah, and that's important in the work of forgiveness because you mm-hmm. actually have to work through a lot of times the sin that's been sinned against
right.
you,
right.
And then when you forgive, you're actually, as you said a minute ago, releasing yeah. the debt mm-hmm. of saying like, okay,
yeah. right.
I'm not going to count that against you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I've felt all the feelings about it. I've experienced all the things. I've worked through it with the Lord. And with other people, maybe at some level, if you need to. But then ultimately at the end of the day, I'm willing to say, yes, it hurt, but now I am backing out away from the feeling of wanting to have retribution.
Mm. Right. So we're talking about interpersonal forgiveness now, but
yeah,
McGregor, you're
others.
Starting us off saying that we forgive one another because God in Christ has forgiven.
First of all,
I think that's why it's so crucial.
That's the basis.
Yeah.
That's the mm-hmm. basis for forgiveness. And that's mm-hmm. the basis for saying if you are unwilling to forgive someone, neither will your father. Not that you're earning forgiveness by forgiving other people, but you are demonstrating, I am the
yep.
type of person who's understood mm-hmm. and embraced the forgiveness of God.
Yep.
And if you're unwilling to forgive someone else, then can you really say you've understood the grace of God and received mm-hmm. his forgiveness?
Yeah. That's the Ephesians 4 thing,
right? That's Ephesians 4. Be kind and compassionate to one another,
forgiving
each other, just as in Christ God forgave you.
Yeah.
So what God has done for you, you must do for others.
Yeah, or 2 Corinthians 5. No. I'm skipping ahead, sorry. but yeah, basically he's saying your forgiveness of others is an mm-hmm. indication that you've understood,
right.
experienced,
mm-hmm.
And are living out the gospel.
Yeah. Is that one of the reasons that forgiveness can be or feel so hard? Because it's like, it's the gospel butting heads with our old selves in a way that, mm-hmm. you know, I need to be vindicated. Mm-hmm. I can vindicate myself. I can prove my way.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in Christ, we see the opposite of that. We see Christ taking our punishment, taking our punishment, basically bearing that and forgiving us and releasing us of that punishment.
Mm.
And that's just not like a normal human behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So. And it's not normal for us to see the vast and massive debt that we owe to God. I mean, that's the parable of the unforgiving
yeah.
servant, right?
Yeah,
totally.
In Matthew 18, when mm-hmm. if you understand how much God has forgiven you, you have no basis, I have no basis to withhold forgiveness from another person. Mm-hmm. So, but if I get that, then I'm going to be able to look at the sin that's committed against me. Now, maybe it's a heinous thing. Maybe it's a heinous thing, and we don't mean to trivialize it. But in Jesus' perspective, the moral debt that we owe God is infinitely larger than what another person owes us.
Yeah, yeah. I think forgiveness is a form of suffering.
That's a good way to put it.
And that's why we participate with Christ in the cross in his suffering when we are agents of forgiveness.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons it's so hard is nobody likes to die to self.
Yeah.
But as old Dieter Bonhoeffer said, when Christ calls man, he bids him come and die.
Yeah. Who's the British, the old British preacher? What's
John
his name?
John Stott?
No, not John Stott.
Spurgeon?
Not Spurgeon. I'm trying to think.
Lloyd-Jones?
Lloyd-Jones, that's it. He had this thing. Talked about...
he's actually Welsh.
He says the... Oh, he was. He's Welsh. Okay, I'm sorry. He's English. How about that? Is that better?
He's from the UK.
Okay.
He's from the UK.
Okay. He's from the United Kingdom, part of the Commonwealth, whatever. He has this thing where he says that the problem
what happens when you're sitting around your friends.
Pretty much,
we don't let anything go.
I'm just trying to pinpoint.
Can we just forgive you guys
if you'll forgive me?
Forgive me.
I hope that Martin Lloyd Jones will forgive me. He has this thing. He said the problem with living sacrifices, like offering our bodies as living sacrifices, that living sacrifices like to crawl off the altar.
Off the altar.
So the whole dying to yourself thing. I love what you said there about forgiveness being suffering in a way. We're like joining in the suffering of Christ there, because it's not like when you say I forgive someone who's hurt you, it's not like that hurt instantly just evaporates and you're like a zen-like state of man, everything's fine now and glossy and I'm glad we tied a bow on that. It's almost like in some cases it's like a continuous decision to forgive someone. Yeah. That debt is something that burden that you choose to take is something that might stay with you for a long time.
Mm-hmm. What Tom said earlier about unforgiveness and feeling like maybe I haven't forgiven someone, I think there is the legitimate unforgiveness. Mm-hmm. But more often than not, what I've encountered is people who have forgiven somebody and need to continue to forgive that person because it is that ongoing bringing our feelings to Jesus.
Because the pain of the offense doesn't just disappear. The pain of the offense against you could ripple out for the rest of your life.
A long time.
So to be clear in saying that, you're saying that forgiveness is not a once and done thing.
Yep.
It's a continued process.
It could be by miracle if God does something in your heart, but it's not necessarily going to be.
Or for really light stuff, you know, somebody offends my sense of taste that is arbitrary.
Yeah. Or I call Martin Lloyd-Jones, you know, I call him
Welsh,
British or something like that.
I'm going to forget that in 5 minutes.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm still hanging on to the processing.
Okay, Tom. Well, let me know. So question, actually, with that, when we're talking about forgiveness, is it just a heart posture towards someone, or is it like, is reconciliation when you're seeking that, or how do you forgive somebody, I guess, is the question. That's a weird question, but how do you forgive somebody?
That's a good question.
Or does the person need to...
Ask for forgiveness to be able to forgive in heart.
Like I think maybe we've talked about the example of well, what if somebody who you've held bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart, what if they die? What if it's your parent, you know, that they were horribly abusive to you and they die before you were able to ever reconcile with them? Can you forgive that person?
Absolutely.
Or like, you know, I have a guy that I know and he was abused as a kid and he knows for a fact that his abuser is still alive and well, he hasn't ever felt the need. He says he's forgiven him in his heart, but he's never felt the need to reach out
that
and
may
say,
not
I
be
forgive
wise.
You.
Yeah, it may not be wise.
Okay,
and why is that? Why?
So back to my question. How do you forgive someone, and why would is that not necessarily the way it goes?
Yeah, I think going back to Matthew 18, there's like Jesus talks about forgiveness in community, and it doesn't always require... I mean, actually, the New Testament has a bunch of wisdom on this. Galatians, if a brother is caught in sin, go to them.
Yep.
And so it doesn't require somebody coming and saying, hey, will you forgive me? Yep.
So you can forgive, you're saying you can forgive somebody in your heart, even if they don't repent.
Yeah.
You say that?
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Jesus says in Matthew 18:35, so also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. So there's some kind of thing that happens in your heart that doesn't necessarily, I don't think, require the person to come to repentance. Now, that's the best thing. If they do come to repentance and they seek forgiveness, then we are told to forgive them.
So
right?
It's interesting. It's almost like, you know, Jesus is after your heart more than anything, because you're, you know, I think forgiveness or an improper view or a lack of forgiveness can almost become an idol or something that drags you down. That's interesting. I never thought about it that way.
Well, go back to Matthew 18 and think about the whole context. The passage is awesome. You guys should go read it, like pause and go read it immediately unless you're in your car.
We'll give you a minute.
So the part that we're talking about is if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault. Not wait for them to say they're sorry, but go and point out their
fault.
This
is, you're reading Galatians.
Oh,
no, you're reading.
No, it's Matthew
18. Matthew 28. Okay. Yeah. It does 18. Have yep. a similar.
Yep.
So just between the two of you, if they listen to you, you have won them over. Yeah. This is the whole point, is to restore relationship and community.
Yeah.
But it also kind of protects them. You know, there's a protective element, and there's these steps and this escalation of confrontation. So if they won't listen to you, then you bring some more people, and if they won't listen to you, but then think about that first one. If you go to them one-on-one and they won't listen to you, you're never alone with them again. If you win them over, great, then we can talk about what reconciliation looks like. But if they refuse to repent, if they refuse to say, yeah, like that abuse was wrong or whatever, you're never alone with them again. And I think that's really a beautiful picture of Jesus's wisdom. But then think back like earlier, right? Like there's this whole parable of the lost sheep. And in context, I think what Jesus is trying to say is that the strenuous effort of the shepherd going after the one, leaving the 99 and going after the one, it should be our posture. When somebody is straying, we should recognize the value. And that's why it can't just stay in our heart, I think. But
that's tough because a lot of times, you know, facing someone who has sinned against you is a lot easier to say in a podcast and actually do.
Yeah.
Right. If someone's terrified you, it, like I think you just said even a few minutes ago, or somebody said, it may not be a wise idea to go and pursue a conversation with somebody that's been horribly abusive to you.
Yeah.
And that may be a situation in which maybe there's, maybe you begin with forgiveness in your heart, or maybe you bring someone else along, or maybe your, you know, wise Christian friends or counselor says to you, this person's not safe and you shouldn't, you know? So I don't know.
We started the podcast with a little bit of the idea of forgiveness. It leads to reconciliation. That's the end goal of it. Right. But here's the interesting thing is I wonder what the reconciliation really is to some level. Is the reconciliation for you personally? Is it for the other person? Is what is going on there? Is there something more where we can say, actually, the point of this is to reconcile my own heart to the Lord right now, more than my own interpersonal relationship with someone else. So the goal can still be reconciliation, but a different aim of the goal, you know?
Well, I would say insofar as there's some wisdom to actually have restoration of relationship, that's a good thing.
Yep.
That may not be possible in some circumstances to actually have reconciliation with a person, but that is the end goal, right?
Yeah.
If it's wise to do so.
Yeah.
I mean, again, if somebody's already passed away, there's no reconciliation that can happen, but there can still be a release in your heart to the Lord. Like, I'm not going to carry this in my heart anymore, this unforgiveness. Yeah. I'm releasing this to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess it's an unfamiliar, and it's kind of, you know, not a movie type thing where you ask, typically it's like, you know, you ask someone for forgiveness and then you live happily ever after and everything's fine. But, you know, what we're talking about here, sometimes people aren't sorry, or they, you know, you offer forgiveness and it's not well received. And I think that's where it's, you know, it's going back to the, well, it's your job to, not your job, but that's your opportunity to take it to Jesus.
What if somebody's not sorry?
Well, I was going to ask you guys that.
Too bad. I asked first. You go.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I've had experiences before where it seems like people just want me to get over something, you know, when it's like, I'm not ready to get over it yet. Like, I need a moment. I need to talk about this. We need to process it together, whatever it might be. And sometimes people aren't willing to do that. And at that level, I mean, you have to end up creating a little bit of a guard around your heart and mind at that point. Because you want to be careful, first of all, to kind of do the Matthew 18 thing where you're kind of keeping it between yourself at first and not just going off and gossip about some other person and actually sin more because of what's going on in there. But there's also the wisdom of trying to figure out a way to work through it. Like, can you actually work through that with someone who's a confidant or whatever it is, like a counselor or whatever it might be, to talk through those things and not create an environment where you're just spreading rumors about a person because you want to hurt their reputation because you're, you know, you're having a hard time forgiving them or whatever it might be. And so, you know, if a person's not sorry, you have to work on it yourself. And that's the hardest part of the whole thing. I mean, that's kind of the idea of, you know, like it's a suffering thing to to forgive someone. On a side note, you know, this is, you know, going to people, one of the things we've taught in our family, we've taught this to our kids since they were little, is that we don't say I'm sorry in our family, because it's not the point of forgiveness. You being sorry is not the point of forgiveness.
You're
just saying how you feel, you know? And so we've said over and over to our friends, and it's important. We've said it over and over to our friends. Kelly and I do this. We practice this together where we say, we don't say, I'm sorry. We say, will you forgive me? And we actually list the things that need to be forgiven.
That's
good
stuff. Yeah.
And then, so we've trained our kids in this as well. We said, like, you don't just tell your brother or your sister, whoever it might be, that you're sorry. Because
why don't you tell me this years ago? I've been trying to get my kids to say sorry for years. Successfully.
But here's the crazy thing. It is so much more difficult to sit in front of someone and say, will you forgive me, than it is to say, well, I'm sorry. Because I'm sorry feels neutral.
Well, I'm sorry. It doesn't put anything in their court. Nope. You're just saying it's more like a cathartic thing for me. I'm saying, I'm sorry. But when you
I feel better by saying I'm sorry.
Yeah. But when you say, will you forgive me, you're like handing the reins to somebody else.
But would you say then the burden is now on the person who's been offended?
No, good question. So we've even had this conversation with our kids before as well, where you can't control what the person's going to do, but you can control your willingness to actually reach out and say, I was wrong and I need your forgiveness for this thing. And if the person in front of you says, I don't care, I don't want to talk to you or whatever it is, you've done, I think, in your best power, everything you could to own your sin, to own the crisis that you've created and actually ask for it. And then you can't control the other person's response to that.
So this is interesting. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. Oh, well, I was going to clarify. So the ingredients are, you go to the person, you confess.
Good. Yep.
You say what you did.
Yep.
You repent. You say it was wrong.
Yep.
You change your mind about whether it was right or wrong.
Yep.
You request for forgiveness.
Yep.
And then you trust them with their decision.
Yes. Yeah. It's a humble pie thing, man.
It's a pie.
For sure. Someone. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, you sort of answered it, I think, because we're kind of flipping on our head, like, you know, what if someone isn't sorry? The opposite of that is, what if someone won't forgive me? How do I deal with that?
Yeah, that's a great question, Rex.
Yeah, and that's probably something that requires kind of its own podcast, in a sense, to be able to kind of think through that. You know, especially if you really want
to reconcile.
You send
them this podcast that talks about the relationship. Listen to it.
So yeah, I guess a question there, though, like
if you desire to reconcile the relationship and they don't,
like, what does that leave you? Yeah. I mean, should you feel ashamed, or what happens here?
Well, okay, so think about it this way. If you've done the ingredients, the Darren Larson ingredients for forgiveness, you've gone, confessed, repented, you know, you've gone through that thing. And they've said, I won't forgive you. Is that the question? Or is it?
Yeah. They say, no, I don't forgive you.
Or I'm not ready to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think patience is super important. You have to be patient with that person's emotions. Cause like Darren said, like you can't, if all you're going after is forgiveness, then it's manipulation.
Yeah.
If all you're going for is a restoration of the way things used to be, it's manipulation.
Yeah, but if you're trying, if you're just really actually trying to make things right.
But if you have the real grief over what you did and they said no, man, that's heartbreaking.
That really
is. For sure,
is.
Prayer.
Well, actually, what you just said makes me think that their response shouldn't matter, because you're not trying to control their response by saying, will you forgive me? You're just simply owning your own sin. And that is very different than saying, I'm trying to control the outcomes.
Well, I would say
maybe it's an overstatement to say it doesn't matter. I would say it matters desire reconciliation and restoration of the relationship.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter in the sense that it's out of your hands.
Gotcha.
Now, let me throw a wrench. What do you do with somebody that's in your local church that won't forgive you? Because that's a sin issue in your local church. So how do you handle that?
Man.
Yeah, I think that is probably where you end up bringing someone else in to kind of act as a mediator. I think there's biblical precedence for that. In fact, you kind of laid out some in Matthew chapter 18. You know, if your brother is in sin, go to him, you know, find someone who can serve as a neutral third party. I think at some level, to even use wisdom that God has given to us, you might find an elder in your church to come along in the conversation who's not going to create drama out of this thing or not going to share the information with someone else.
Yeah.
And in some ways, this is a little bit shooting from the hip because this is a complex situation.
Yeah.
But you may need someone to come in and speak wisdom and speak truth over the situation that's going on right there. Someone who actually hears it from a neutral third party stance and says, you know, you guys should probably do this. Have you thought about this before? Have you, you know, whatever it might be.
Yeah. Cause I do think like we are to be marked by forgiveness as Christians. So I think if it's in a local church situation, if someone is truly seeking forgiveness and not being offered forgiveness, it might just be, you know, kind of a power thing. Like this person's trying to add to the punishment by withholding it for a minute. And again, I know it's complex. I'm not saying that's what's happening, but sometimes that might be the case. And sometimes that, you know, it's because someone might have an improper view of what forgiveness is and what it means to forgive. And that's where I think you're right. I think a multitude of witnesses or like, you know, a church elder or something like that who can help walk through and, you know, stuff we've already said, like it's not necessarily that everything's okay. It's just basically saying, hey, this is a burden that I'm letting go of. Yeah, that's hard.
Maybe another, to kind of shift directions a little bit, maybe another myth that needs to be clarified is that forgiving someone doesn't mean trusting them, right?
That's a great point.
That's helpful in this conversation.
Yeah.
So I could talk about it, but I just threw it out there. So you guys...
Yeah, give us what you're thinking. I can...
Well, I think that you can truly in your heart release somebody from a debt, but that doesn't mean that they're trustworthy.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't... Yeah. So forgiving doesn't mean forgetting. It doesn't mean forgetting that it happened. Like somebody may have a long history of deception and you may truly in your heart release that person for how they've deceived you, but that doesn't mean that they've all of a sudden become trustworthy. They may still continue to deceive you, or they may steal from you. It doesn't mean that you're going to give them the, you know, the key combo to get in your house on the padlock or the key to your house, because maybe they're going to steal from you. So I think you can forgive them for for their debts that they've accrued against you. You can say, I release you from that.
What is it Jesus says? Be wise as serpents and innocent as doves, something like that. So like saying I forgive someone doesn't give you the chance to throw away all wisdom.
Right.
You know,
And the person who's done the offending doesn't get to dictate the terms. So if somebody wrongs you and you've gone through a process of forgiveness and they say, but I want things to go back to the way they were, which we kind of talked about earlier, but like they don't get to decide whether or not you should trust them again.
For sure. And I do think that, you know, it's, again, it's worth saying that doesn't mean just because you don't trust them anymore doesn't mean you're holding contempt, because I think that's those two things, forgiveness and contempt, aren't compatible with each other.
Okay. I know we've asked a bunch of questions. I can't even remember if we've asked this one already. What do you do if you know that you need to forgive, the Lord calls you to forgive, because you're thinking, okay, I know the Lord has forgiven me for so much, and you want to forgive, but it's a struggle because it's a heart thing, right? Like you want, you want to make that decision in a sense. It almost feels like an act of the will, but it's kind of like forcing yourself to feel something, because there is a component, it seems to me, of forgiveness that is a heart level sense of emotion, right?
For sure.
It's not solely a feeling. There is some act of the will in there. So what do you do if like there's some dissonance between your mind saying, I know I need to forgive, but I just have a hard time in my heart actually letting go? What do you do about that?
It sounds a little spiritual to say, but I think a lot of prayer can go into that. And, you know, it sounds like a, you know, it sounds like the easy church answer, but I think just pray about it. But I think if you pray for a person that, that helps you, it creates affection in you for a person. It's hard to go to God to someone and tell the Lord how much of a lousy person that person is, you know, or something like that.
Well, Jesus says, if you remember while you're in the process of worshiping and you remember, bail. I'd rather not receive your sacrifice. It's going to hinder your worship.
That's an amazing thought.
Maybe too, this thought came to me as I'm thinking about the parable of the unforgiving servant. Jesus puts he likens our sin to this massive, massive unpayable
Never
debt
pay yep.
compared to the smaller, much smaller debt of the person against you. And so maybe to maybe the Lord will get us to a place of actual forgiveness if we spend some time meditating on the mountain of our debt against him versus the molehill of their debt against me. Now, it may be a serious sin against you, and so I'm not trying to trivialize it, but I am saying, according to Jesus, we have a mountain of sin compared to a molehill of sin against us.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Maybe that's a way to help get our hearts to the place where we can actually forgive.
Good perspective.
Yeah, I think rehearsing the story of the gospel, because we very quickly, you know, we very quickly forget. I think it's interesting, you know, if you read through the first five books of the Bible, especially starting in Exodus and moving forward, it seems like every couple chapters they recap the whole story. And it gets annoying if you're reading just straight through and you don't know what's going on. But if you start paying attention, it's like they need to be reminded of what God has done for them. And so part of that might just be rehearsing your story, you know, rehearsing what, like you said, Tom, dwelling on the mountain of grace that we have been given, seeing the seriousness of the sin that we have been forgiven.
Right. There's a bloody Savior hanging on a cross because of your sin. Like that's what our sin deserved. It's what it merited.
And with the prayer, like there's also a risen Savior who's given you his Spirit to empower you to do something.
Right. In your own flesh, you can't do that.
Can't do it.
I think of that story of who was it? Was it Corrie Ten Boom?
Was she English?
No, yeah, it was Martin Lloyd Jones.
Yeah, she's Welsh.
It was Corrie Ten Boom, and she was sharing at
Rex needs to forgive me.
She was sharing at
Rex, will you forgive me?
I forgive you. She was sharing at a church, and she looked and saw someone who was a guard at one of the concentration ships.
She had been at
Dachau,
So
she saw this man as she's talking about what the Lord has done in her life.
And she was talking about forgiveness.
Yes, exactly. So she's talking about forgiveness, and she says, she recalls the conversation that she's having with herself in her head, like, I can't forgive this man. But the punchline is like, I actually can. You know, the power of the power of God within me, the grace that I've been given, I actually do have the power to forgive this person. You know, it costs me a lot, but I do have that power, and it's, again, I'm not losing anything because of the glorious grace that I've been given.
You know, and I remember that she said that the guy came up to her and said, Fraulein, it is so good how you talk about how God forgives our sin.
Brutal.
And he sticks his hand out, and he doesn't.
He doesn't know.
He doesn't know it's her.
Yeah.
She recognizes him, and she said she was in this moment of decision. And in obedience, she stuck her hand out, and she said it was like warm electricity, like warmth shooting through her body as she shook this man's hand, and she felt the forgiveness of Christ come over her for this man. And so it was almost like
this supernatural,
the supernatural thing that happened, like you're talking about, McGregor, the Spirit of God was in her and allowing her to forgive this man who had committed horrible atrocities.
If you want to read this, just Google Corrie Ten Boom forgiveness, and it's in the first couple of links. It's worth reading, but you really get the gravity of that. Like, she is choosing to basically give the weight of that, this horrible thing that was done to her, away. She's willing to say that Jesus is worth it in a way. So,
I think ultimately, forgiveness is a work of faith. And that's why sometimes when it's hard to forgive, forgiveness becomes the genuine stamp, or the stamp of genuineness of your faith.
Good.
Because there's the fear of what happens if I release this person. There's the fear of something happening again. And what you're doing is you're trusting God with that. And you're acting on it. And I think that forgiveness is actually a beautiful picture of what it means to live by faith.
Good word.
So who knows if when you search Corrie Ten Boom quotes forgiveness, if it's true or not, because it's on a graphic, but it's still good. Forgiveness is setting the prisoner free only to find out that the prisoner was me.
I remember that quote.
Hopefully that's true. You can check my sources. That I don't know.
Well, we have
you just did what Rex said, just to Google Corrie Ten Boom.
I did.
That's a good word, though.
Thanks for testing me on that. Well, the record of debt has been canceled against us, so we have been forgiven much, and we are to forgive much, and that can be difficult. And we do encourage you to lean into community as you're doing this, not in a gossiping way, but you know, the whole point of this is reconciliation, and we never really got to reconciliation. That might have to be another podcast.
We touched on it at the very beginning.
But we did. Yeah. We touched on it, but we never like wrapped a nice tidy bow around this whole thing. But that might be...
That's because it's the illustration itself of forgiveness.
Yeah,
there is no tidy bow around this thing.
There's no tidy bow. Maybe that's the ultimate answer, is that there's no tidy bow. Hmm. But if you have questions about anything that we've said, if you have questions about... you know, how to proceed or something like that, or other questions about something else, please reach out to us, podcast@imprintchurch.net. Wow. podcast@imprintchurch.org. Reminds me of Home Star Runner. But we are happy to answer any questions you might have. Ooh, huge derail. That was totally on me though. But yeah, seriously, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this. If you have any questions, reach out. podcast@imprintchurch.org, and we will see you soon.
Toodaloo.
Bye.
I'll see you guys later.
Thanks for listening. For more information and resources from Imprint Church, you can download our app or head to imprintchurch.org.